You may be seated. You may be seated. The continuum of the gospel according to John, we began weeks ago prior to Easter. We're going to continue all the way to Pentecost Sunday. We're talking about integrity, of course. We're talking about spiritual intimacy. We're talking about influence. We're talking about innovation. We're talking about these eyes that are so important. But I want to speak to you on the very subject matter today. Here's the title: The Wonderful Wounds That Changed Everything. The wonderful wounds, two terms that should never come together. When are wounds wonderful? When it's Jesus. When it's Jesus. John chapter 20. This is right after the resurrection. That Sunday evening, verse 19, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors. I need a couple of disciples here. A couple of disciples here? No? A couple of disciples? Come on, disciples. Thank you, disciples. Let me see my disciples real quick here. Let's see them. This is like a multi-ethnic version of Boys to Men. Till the end of the road, guys. I'm not going to sing the other song. That's not going to be appropriate. Okay. They were meeting behind locked doors. They were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Jesus was standing there. So Jesus went in, never knocked on the door. He just appeared behind closed doors. And Jesus says, peace be with you. Somebody say shalom. That's the phrase there, peace be with you. As he spoke, Jesus showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side. He showed off the wounds. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. The wonderful wounds that changed everything. Number one, the wonderful wounds of closed doors. God is a God of doors. Repeat after me, God is a God of doors. God can open a door and God can close a door. I will repeat that. God can open a door and God can close a door. And what he opens and what he closes, is there anyone here, no hype, that can bear witness that in your life you have experienced God opening a door in your favor? Raise your hand. And how many have likewise experienced God closing a door to protect you? God is not just the God that opens the door. He is the God that will close a door. Let me tell you what the Bible says about doors. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. John 10:9. Jesus said, I am the... If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. What he closes, no one can open. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in, eat with them, and they with me. This is a season of doors. This is a season of doors. I'm gonna say it again till you get it. This is a season of doors. For you and your family, this is a season of doors. For you and your calling, this is a season of doors. For you and your God-ordained purpose, this is a season of doors. For you and your personal relationship with Jesus, this is a season of doors. How many have been praying for some doors to be open? How many are ready for God to open up some doors in your favor for you to go through them and give them all of the glory? How many believe we're stepping into a season of doors? Don't forget, season of doors is not just open doors. It's doors that he and doors that he. Now, why would God ever close a door? The open door is kind of, you know, self-explanatory. Why will he do it? Here it is. God will, you open a door, and sometimes God will shut a door in front of you to stop you from stepping in. So there are times that God will close a door in order to protect you from stepping in. And then there are moments that you do step in and God will shut the door behind you in order to keep you in. Are you with me right now? You got that? So if you're hearing some things close around you, if you're hearing this, some of y'all are hearing this. You're hearing this. You're hearing this. you're hearing this. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. When you hear that noise, let not your heart be troubled. Give God all of the glory because he's doing something amazing in your favor. Here it is. Three reasons why God will close a door. To stop you from going in, to stop you from coming out, and sometimes he will shut the door because you're not ready for what's on the other side of that door. If you're not ready and he permits you to go through that door, this is gonna sound familiar like a couple of weeks ago. If your integrity and your influence are not connected, if your character and your calling are not in alignment, if your gift and the grace are not in perfect harmony, he will stop you from going in. Because if you don't have the character, you go through that door, things are gonna mess up. Maybe 1 month, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years later, it's gonna fall apart and the pain will be greater than the actual positive outcome you temporarily experience by going through that door. So God loves you so much, he says, you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. When you're ready, I promise I will open it. But when I open it, I promise I will be with you and there won't be a devil in hell or a man on earth that will be able to shut. With that being said, is there anyone here now that can give God glory for the doors that he opened? Okay. All right. About 70% of you. How many are so mature in Christ now that you actually look back and give God praise for the doors that he closed? Anybody here give God praise for what he opened and what he closed? Anybody here give God praise already for what he's opening right now as we speak and what he's closing? And how many are ready in the future for the doors that he's opening and the doors that he will close? He is the God of doors. And I love this because he did this. The door was closed. And we talked about the doors and we walked through the doors and then he shut the door. So when he ever shuts the door behind you, it's because he wants to reveal something to you. It's a moment of intimacy, a moment of revelation. It's a moment of impartation. He'll shut a door behind you because he wants your undivided attention. This right here, the door was closed, by the way, and Jesus still came in. I'm gonna repeat that. The thing was closed. This did not stop Jesus. I'm going to do that one more time. This was closed. Boys to Men on the other side. If you're under 40, just Google it. No idea what Boys to Men is. I can't even think of like a modern sort of, forget it, we won't go there. Just, anyway, this right here. And Jesus, look, here's Jesus. Door closed. Here's Jesus. This is post-resurrection. The door's closed. His disciples are there. How does he get there with the door closed? This is Jesus. What did he just overcome? There was a what in front of his tomb. If that couldn't stop him, do you think a door from Home Depot is going to be able to stop him from getting through? What does that mean for you and I? I don't care what circumstance right now is shut in front of you. That closed door cannot stop a loving God from showing up in your life, in your circumstance. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Do you have any loved ones right now that are shut out, that they're just shut in their circumstance? Whatever is closed in front of you that God already has a purpose for, that closed door cannot stop from God showing up. So if there's someone you love who is close to faith, they don't even believe in religion, they don't believe in faith, they don't believe in God, they don't believe in electricity, they don't believe in anything, I have news for you. They may be closed up, but the Holy Spirit will reach them and go through there and show them the wounds of Christ. It is that. It is the wonderful wounds of closed doors. Because the God who opens is the God who closes. And we give him praise and glory for both things. And then the wonderful wounds of forgiveness and healing. This is what Jesus does. I need to open the door to show you. Jesus shows up here, and then, can you guys see? Can you really see? Are you sure you can really see here? This is what he does. He comes in here, and he says,
He shows off his wounds. You may be saying, okay, this is what Jesus did not do. Come here, disciples, so they can see your faces. Jesus did not do this. Ready? He shows up and goes like, look what they did to me. Look what they did. Matter of fact, y'all did this. Y'all did this. Go ahead, Peter, or the little rooster. Right, Pete. All right, Pete. Hey, be you, boo. No, you were you, boo. You all did this. I did this for you. This is what you did. Jesus never went in there to show them what they did to him. He went in there to show them what he did for us. Y'all missed it. You're going to get it in a second. Woo! You need to take that anointing and apply it in Christ. Galatians 2:20, we're crucified. We become like him, which means what? You need to start in the name of Jesus. Those wounds are forgiveness and healing. So stop working for the devil's marketing department. Stop working for the enemy's marketing campaign. Stop putting Facebook ads for the works of hell. In other words, instead of saying, look what my ex did to me, start saying, look what the Lord has done for me. I dare you to look at your neighbor, tell him, look what the Lord has done. Stop saying, look what my family did to me, and start saying, look what the Lord has done. Stop saying, look what the Lord has done. Stop saying, look what I did to myself, and start shouting, look what the Lord has done. Is there anyone here in Sacramento, California, who is tired of working for a marketing department that's not giving you a return on investment? Is there anyone here who is ready today to look at everyone around you and say, look what the Lord has done? If that's you, open up your arms and tell your neighbor. I dare you to look at your neighbor, tell him, look what the Lord has done. I dare you to look at your neighbor, tell him, I'm saved. I'm delivered. I'm healed. I'm blessed. I'm anointed. I'm favored. I am forgiven. I am healed. Look what the Lord has done. Somebody shout like you're saved. Somebody praise like you're delivered. Somebody give God glory like you're healed. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Jesus did not walk in there. I feel the Lord. He did not walk in there and go like, look what they did to me, Jesus. Jesus demonstrated what he did for us. Jesus did not step in like a victim. He wasn't a victim. No, he's the conqueror. He's the king. He's the Lord. Look at, here. Look at the wounds. You know what he's saying? Look at your forgiveness. Look at your healing. Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace. Stop for a second. Somebody say peace. Peace. Stop. Somebody say peace. Peace. Was on what? Yeah. Read it. Was on what? Yeah. Do you know what Jesus said right after he showed them the wounds? Read it. We read it. No, you missed it. What did he say? He said, I give you. I give you. Isaiah 53 says the peace was on what? There are three things that were released. Isaiah 53, verse 5, 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes we're already healed. Here it is. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross, that he would that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing, instant, flowed from his wounding. There are three things he released. Three things. Ready? He released forgiveness, healing, and peace. If you're in this auditorium right now, put a smile on your face. In Jesus' name, because through the finished work of Christ, forgiveness belongs to you, healing belongs to you, and the peace of God belongs to you. If you receive these three things, because the wounds are wonderful, give them the final shout of praise for this Sunday afternoon. Somebody praise him like forgiveness is yours. Somebody worship him like healing and peace belong to you.
Repeat after me, I'm forgiven. I am healed. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, that is my peace.
That's what he did. He walked in through a closed door. The wonderful wounds of closed doors, the wonderful wounds of peace, forgiveness, and healing, and the wonderful wounds of a double shalom. That's the word peace, but he doubled up and said, peace, peace, a double portion. Why would Jesus, did he stutter? Why would he repeat himself? He walks in there, goes, look, peace. And then he says, oh, by the way, peace. Why would he say this twice?
Isaiah chapter 61, God is speaking to the people of Israel. He's saying, listen, because y'all messed up and you deviated from my commandments and my ways, y'all been through a lot. He says, but I'm about to save you. And when I save you, I'm gonna give you a double portion. Y'all, stop that. You're still not getting that. Instead of shame and dishonor, you will enjoy a double share of honor. You will possess a double portion of prosperity, and everlasting joy will be yours. I don't know, is anyone in this church ready for a double portion? Is there anyone here who has been praying and fasting and hoping, and you've been through hell and high water, and you're saying, as for me and my house, forgiveness belongs to us through Jesus. Healing belongs to us. His peace belongs to us. And by the way, I'm getting a double portion of everything that I lost. If you receive it, get up on your feet and give him your best praise right now in this house. Somebody shout, double portion. Double portion.
All right, stay right there, don't move. We're done. This happened this morning. As I was drafting this sermon, drafting the word of the Lord for you today, the Holy Spirit quickened me about releasing an anointing for healing. So in my myopic way of thinking, I'm thinking the typical church healing in this kind of environment. And I, you know, I went like, all right, we're gonna pray for physical healing. And Holy Spirit convicted me and said, no. In the Bible, I not only healed bodies, I healed minds. And he showed me scripture from Daniel. And I went, whoa, hold on a second. Mental healing is in the Word of God. Emotional healing, in the Word of God. I went, whoa. And then he went, wait, don't limit me there. How about spiritual healing? And I'm going, God, what are you saying?
There are spirits that are crushed. Sometimes we go through church hurt. Sometimes we get hurt in our faith environment, even in our church, our spiritual atmosphere. Sometimes we get hurt with things we do done to us, trauma we experience in church, and even in leadership, church leadership, pastors, leaders, whatever. On occasion, they hurt people with words and actions or inactions, and people are hurt. And God says, I'll heal that spiritual hurt. Physical healing is yours through Christ. Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. And then there's one more. Jeremiah, the word healing there is holistic. It includes everything, including your relationships. How many know God can heal families and relationships? Now, I'm gonna say that one more time. How many don't think, hope, how many know that God is a healing God? He has never stopped being Jehovah Rapha. The book of Exodus, Jehovah Rapha, I am the one. He declares, I am the one that heals, Jehovah Rapha. And then the promise in Exodus 23, 25, you have made me your Lord, your God, your everything, because you're serving me. I have blessed your bread and your water. I have taken all sickness away from you. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, my soul. Do not forget. Don't forget. What? Some. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives some of your iniquities, who heals some diseases. That's your promise right there. James chapter 5 talks about the elders praying for the sick. And then it says, it concludes the 16th verse, that the prayer of a righteous person accomplisheth, availeth much. And then he tells us, of course, in Mark and in Matthew, to go and heal the sick. All right, If you believe Jesus heals, raise your hand. If you believe his wounds, forgiveness, healing, and peace still are active today, and you can get a hold of them through the finished work of Christ, raise both hands. You really believe that? I'm not gonna force you. I'm not gonna coerce you. If you have experience or someone you know firsthand, not like three generations ago, someone you know experienced a miracle from God, raise both hands a little bit higher. Oh, wow, that's like, seriously, look at this. The vast majority, if not, wow, truly amazing. Put your hands down for 1 second. I'm looking at the camera right now. I know there is a small community in Christendom that believes that miracles were only for the early church. I know that. It's a small segment, but you're very vociferous. I want to speak to you for a moment and tell you, you're going to be in heaven with me. I appreciate that. You want to continue to believe that, the phrase in this church is, you be you, boo. But as for me and my house and this entire church, we don't think, we don't hope, we don't feel, we know that Jesus is the same yesterday. Anybody want to finish that? Jesus is the same yesterday. Somebody prays like Hebrews is right and he never changes. All right, we got minutes here. Right there where you're standing, I'm going to call them out. So I'm just going to lay it out for you. I'm going to give you the verse to substantiate it. Here we go. Spiritual healing, Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves and heals those who are crushed in spirit. Spiritual healing is here. I'm going to call you out in a second. If you need spiritual healing, I sense God today here. I sense the reason we started this service late is because the Spirit of God just flooded our Spanish service. And we couldn't get out. There was just healing and power and glory. You need spiritual healing. You went through church hurt. You've experienced church hurt. And it may have been self-inflicted, by the way. But you went through church hurt, faith hurt. You're going to come up here. We're going to pray for you in a second. Emotional, mental healing. Let me read this. I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven. My sanity was restored. Daniel 4, 34. Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. Lost his mind. And God had mercy upon him. His mental and emotional health completely restored. God healed him. How many believe if God did it for Nebuchadnezzar, he can do it for us? What does that mean, Pastor Sam? Depression, anxiety, fear, any and all mental illness, be it externally exacerbated, be it neurologically, physiologically, biologically induced, whatever it may be, a chemical imbalance, what it could be traumatically triggered, whatever it is, he has the power to heal your mind and your emotions. And he has the power to do it. Look what the Lord has done. Relational healing. I will restore health to you. That word in the Hebrew is holistic. Your wounds I will heal, Jeremiah 30, 17, and physical healing I already referenced. Let's do it. I'm not gonna force you. I'm gonna ask our elders to come up here. Elders and pastors. Physical healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing, relational healing. Saying, Pastor Sam, you're telling me that God really heals? Even in the service this morning, a person came in here with an injury, and unbeknownst to me, they provided evidence of God supernaturally healing them. I found it in the Spanish service. Ironically enough, I almost tripped over the healing. True story, we didn't know it was up there. There's healing in this place. Lift up your hands for a second. Pastor Samuel Rodriguez, do you really believe that God has the power to heal from cancer and diabetes and arthritis and autoimmune disease? I don't think, I know. Have you seen it before? Yes. Have you seen it in people you know? 100%, so help me God. This is from a former evangelical agnostic who didn't believe. I've seen it, measurably so. I did a movie about a kid who was dead. Produced a movie called Breakthrough about a kid who was dead, where all the doctors and nurses certified that kid was 100% dead. He was dead for 1 hour and 8 minutes. And mom walks in there and says, Holy Spirit, bring my son back to life. And the kid who was dead, right there when her words came out of her mouth. So it's there, it's documented all over the world. There are things that man cannot explain, that even science, and I'm a faith in science guy, that science can't explain.
Yeah. Everything. Pastor Sam, everything? I mean everything. Like this. There are miracles that happen like this, and then there are miracles that for whatever reason, God says, I want to see you grow in this. And he takes a little time because he's teaching you and imparting something in the process. But I promise you, our God is a healing God. Physical, mental, relational, spiritual healing. All right. If you need healing today, whoever you are, if you need healing, I promise you God is in this place. That I assure you. And I assure you that these wounds are still wonderful. And they do work today. Forgiveness, healing, and peace are in this auditorium. When I count to three, if you need healing, come out. This is the day of your breakthrough. The doors open up in your favor. Here we go. One, two, three. Come out right now. Come out. Oh, wow. We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. Pastor Armando, help us here. Jason, help us with security and help us manage the crowds. Come on, come on.
Jesus, healed by the authority of heaven. Healed, healed, healed.
perfectly, permanently, and beautifully healed in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands. Just hold that. Hold that. Sustain the peace. With your hands raised. We have faith in this church for even people that are not in this auditorium right now. We talked about that a few weeks ago. How many here have faith for God to heal a relative that's not even here? If you believe that, raise your hand. Don't forget, don't tell me, Pastor Sam, they need faith. 2 weeks ago, I showed you through the Word of God. I showed you from the man who was paralyzed in the pool in John chapter 5 to Acts chapter 3. At the gate called Beautiful, the people who had the faith were the people praying and believing. So God, right now, heal people that we love that are fighting spiritual ailments, physical ailments, mental, emotional, relational ailments, infirmities, malignancies, diseases, sicknesses. Right now, we speak the healing virtue, the stripes of Christ by your wounds. Your wonderful wounds. There is forgiveness, there is healing, and there is peace. We release that right now upon every single life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Pastor Armando, I'm authorizing you not to wait. I want you to go through that line, the remainder. I want you to lay hands on each and every one of them as an extension and release healing right now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, just go through. Go through one by one in Jesus' name. I don't want anyone to leave without being prayed for. In Jesus' name, healed, 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 healed. In Jesus' name. One more time, y'all, just help me. We're gonna wrap on time. Lift up your hands. The healer is here. The healer is here. The healer is here. The healer is here. Christ, the healer is here. The healer is here. The healer is here. Oh, the healer is here. The healer is here.
The healer is here.
Woo.
He's in the room. He's in the room.
I sense the Lord. Let's wrap up like this. Everybody, get your right hand. Just look, ready?
Ready? Ready? Here we go. Spirit, just go like this. Healed. Every spiritual ailment, not just in yours, but in your loved ones and people you know, healed right now. There are friends of yours that got traumatized in church that are coming back to church this year in Jesus' name and are going to have a fresh encounter with the power of God. But if you've had some spiritual ailments, healed. Ready? Let's do this. Just go like this. Like this. Every physical issue in your body dealt with immediately by the finished work of Christ. Healing right now. Every bone, every muscle, every organ, everything in perfect alignment. Every abnormal cell flushed out today by the authority of heaven in the name of Jesus. Go like this, guys. I declare every mind, every emotional framework completely healed. By the authority of heaven, every thought taken into captivity, every mind renewed every single day by the work of the Holy Spirit. And now go like this. Every relationship, every family member, every friend, every relational dynamic completely made whole. Now, look at me and say, in Jesus' name, I am, by the grace of God, for the glory of his name, forgiven, healed, and in perfect peace. Now give him the best shout you've given him in 2024. Come on, somebody praise like you're saved. Somebody shout like you're healed. Somebody rejoice like you've been set free. By the finished work of Jesus. If you received the word today, raise your hands. If God spoke to you and you love those wonderful wounds, go like this. Wonderful wounds. If you really received the byproduct of that, just whip your hands raised, look at your neighbor and tell them, I told you, look what the Lord has done. 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 Somebody praise it. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. All right, join hands with your neighbors. And of course, the biggest byproduct of that encounter of the wounds is salvation. So if you have yet to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, which is your greatest spiritual healing, if you passed up and you received that, amen. But if you just want to do it today and say, Pastor Sam, I'm all in, man. I need Jesus in my life. I need to get my life right with God. If that's you and you're in this auditorium or streaming online, if you know that you need to get your life right with God because it isn't. You're living a life not in alignment of God's word, his will, or his way. And you're saying, I'm tired of this. I'm tired. I'm done. I need to get saved right here, right now. If that's you, right there where you're at, raise your hand where you're at in this auditorium. Where you're at. I see one hand. I see back hand, two hands. Anybody else? I see a hand over there. I see a hand over there in the corner. Matter of fact, everybody, I see back there in that corner. I see back there, back, and back. So if you raise your hand and you're saying, all right, I'm all in. I'm going to encourage you to come out of your seat real quick and just come up here. I promise you, I'm not going to embarrass you. When you come up here, we're going to pray for you, but this place is going to go crazy because this is the best thing that we can possibly do today, seeing people saved by the finished work of Christ. So if you raise your hand, come out. Come out of your seat. Who raised your hand? Let me see you. Come out of your seat if you lift your hands. Quickly. Come out of your seat. We want to see you. Come out of your seat. If you lifted up your hand, we want you to come out of your seat. And we want to pray for you. That back there, the group back there. We'll pray for you. We'll wait for you. Keep on clapping, church. We'll wait for you. We'll pray you through. We'll pray you through. If someone next to you raise their hand, accompany them. And we'll pray for them. Let's do it as a form. We made a promise to God. We want to be faithful. Everyone repeat after me. Even those that raise their hands back there and are still coming up or still standing back there, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, with my mouth I confess. With my heart I believe
that Jesus is Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood, forgiving all of my sins, past, present, and future. On the third day, he came out of the tomb, giving me eternal life, new life, and abundant life. I am, by the grace of God, saved. One more shout of praise. Look at the Lord, how